Chris.
Marcus.
We're back.
We are back.
Episode 51. So we had episode 50. Woo. It's episode 51 now. Right? We're on the second half. The second half.
Here we go.
The 100. So
here we go.
We know what we're going to do. You know, make sure you subscribe on Apple. Download on Spotify. So, you know, if you're on Apple, you see this, hit that subscribe button. You're on download, you see this on Spotify, hit the download button. Make sure you give us, you know, give us some downloads there. Then go ahead and follow us on Twitter.
Throw some follows.
Yeah. Throw us some follows, please. ALPA_QB1 on Twitter. ALPA_QB1 on Instagram, and then it's a little pocket awareness on Facebook. You can find us there. Also, you know, follow me and Chris too at King Manelos, right? And at the Mark John NFL. So, you know, make sure you guys follow this. And, you know, and then, you know, if you listen to my other podcast, you should listen to this one. You know, right. And I know it's not all Raiders. I know it's not all Raiders. It's okay. You know, you can learn about some other teams. You know, learn about some other teams.
Learn about the quarterback position.
Yeah, learn about the quarterback position. You know, we're well varied here. So, you know, it was a slow week for us, Chris. I have to admit, it was pretty slow. I mean,
there wasn't as much fun when it was coming to the quarterback position.
Yeah, it was pretty normal week. We had a. You know, of course, Andy Dalton, that big hit that happened to Andy, that was bad.
Oof.
I see your Packers bounce back, you know.
I mean, did you think they weren't going to?
I mean, no, they're playing the Texans, so yeah, of course.
They were missing their starting stud left, all-pro left tackle, Bakhtiari.
Yeah.
They were missing that number one running back in Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
Seeing a secondary half not there, no Kevin King, no Darnell Savage.
Yeah. Yeah,
but they put it together. They looked like the team that was leading up to the Tampa Bay game.
I'm just gonna say, man, Derek Carr just wasn't as flustered as your boy, though, man.
I don't want to hear that. don't you try coming at me like that. I told you it was a game that you look at it once and then you throw it away. Everybody has a bad game.
Man. He handled that pressure a little bit better.
That's has a bad game.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that.
You know, he handled it a little better. You know, they try to confuse him the same way. You know, switch coverages. He did all right. He did all right, man. Mm-hmm. You know. but you know, Raiders got their butt kicked, so I don't know. Mentioned that game. That had nothing to do with. Derek Carr, bro. I mean, it had nothing to do with Derek Carr. That was all like, that was just pure Tom Brady. Which we'll get into. Tom Brady just chopping him up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what else happened this week? You had a little Russ versus Kyler, you know, that was a
– It was a good Monday night game.
Yeah.
It was a good Monday night game.
Yeah, and then that was a good Sunday night. That was Sunday night because the Monday night game was
– Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Sunday night.
Don't let's not. Let's not.
The Monday night was
– A debacle. Yeah, it was
– For the Bears. But, for the
Bears.
We are gonna talk about that. We are gonna get into that there.
Yeah,
I gotta give you some hell about how high and mighty you were thinking the Bears were in our last conversation.
I mean, I'm just saying, bro. I mean, they got a good defense. I mean, it wasn't their fault this week. They played a good defense. So. Mm-hmm. And then you know, we talk about a little bit of Patrick Mahomes. You know, is he having a down season? We'll discuss that. Look at that. I mean, he's playing the Chiefs next week that I'm just looking at right now. So
The Jets,
that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, he can't play himself. He's playing the Jets. So
I mean, you can kind of play against
I mean, basically, you're playing the Jets.
Yeah, you're.
It's basically a scrimmage.
Yeah. Well, don't tell the Bills that.
What did they get, 4 yards?
The Bills tried to blow it, man.
No, but yeah, they tried to, but the Jets wouldn't let them. They wouldn't let it happen. They had 4 yards in the whole second half. Like, are you a football team? Like, what is going on? You got to get fired after that. I don't care. I don't care who you are.
That's a debacle. That is an absolute debacle.
It's funny.
That's
like,
one of the debacles in New York City.
I said this on Twitter, man. Half these coaches, like, the production they put out, if they did this at Target, man, they'd be fired. So, like, it's – like, imagine four points and a half and 4 yards, I mean – Like,
yeah, that's. I mean,
I guess because the Bills aren't even that good of a defense, you know.
Well, no, the Bills are one of the better defenses in
the
NFL.
Yeah, but not this
year.
Well,
they have no this year. It's a little different this year. You're right. You're right. same as what's going on in New England. Wow, what a debacle that's become.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to – we're going to have a conversation. Is he still called Cam or does Sham come back?
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that too. We're going to talk about that too. All right. So let's go ahead. Let's get into it.
I want to do one thing really quickly here.
Okay, go ahead.
You mentioned Andy Dalton getting lit up. And I'm going to just feed my conspiracy theory for 2 seconds, and then we can move on.
There we go.
I'm going to feed it for 2 seconds. We texted about the trade that they made for their star free agent defensive end that they're only going to get, what, a 6th-round pick out of, a compensation pick?
Yeah.
To the Lions. The Lions? Really? What are the Lions going to do? That was interesting to me. But yeah. My point is going to be, and it was something that I've heard mentioned more than once, when Andy Dalton took that hit, what should have the reaction been from the Dallas Cowboys?
They probably should have been a fight. A fight should
have been after. We should have seen the second fight of Myles Garrett versus Pouncey.
Yeah.
That's what we should have seen. What did we see?
They went and tried to
absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. There was no fire, no passion, no defense of their quarterback. I don't think McCarthy ever had the locker room. I don't even think
they've already thrown him under the bus.
I know. And all this anonymous stuff, that locker room is a mess. And that's why hashtag Tank for Trevor.
Hashtag right. Tank for Trevor. I think McCarthy gets fired for sure. I think he's going to get fired.
No, I don't think he gets fired. I think he fires both of his coordinators. And he'll fire both of his coordinators. McCarthy will keep his job.
And he's getting back to those slant flats. Huh? He's going to fire both of his coordinators. Kellen, you know, I love a good dragon. Have you seen my playbook? I run dragon slant flats a lot. You stick dragon, you know, and you keep running these different – I don't know what you're running here, but I need you to run some more dragon or you're not going to have a job here.
No, I think that's the way that McCarthy can save a little skin. He's got to fire his coordinators.
This is just funny. Like,
he's got to fire his coordinators. You can't do it. You can't do it right now because there's no like secondary offense. You can't just like install an offense.
Yeah,
momentarily like that.
It's funny. So, like JT O'Sullivan, he has this old quarterback back in the day. He has a thing called QB School. I don't know if you heard of it, Chris, but he has a thing called QB School. It's on YouTube. It's really good. And he was going over Mike McCarthy's playbook. Like he was actually like had it out. And he was doing this whole thing on it. And because I forgot, he was in New Orleans. Mike McCarthy was offensive coordinator in New Orleans. And it's the same playbook, bro. He was running the same plays for like until 2019 until he got fired.
Yeah, McCarthy's still in the 90s. He's still in the 90s. He thinks he's coaching in San Francisco too.
It was just funny. I was just watching him break down those plays, and I'm like, he still runs those. Like
I was a defender of McCarthy. Just based off of the situation in Green Bay, I really thought Aaron was kind of tanking the season as well. But like, how do you lose? You can't lose two locker rooms like that.
No, you cannot.
You can't. So I mean, I don't even think he had the locker room to begin with in Dallas.
No.
Mm-mm. So they're hashtag tank for Trevor.
We'll see about that, man. Hashtag we'll see.
Hey, I got you on the hashtag we'll see train instead of saying there's no way in hell.
I mean, because I don't think they're going to win another game. Yeah, I have to figure out. I'm trying to figure out if they're going to win another game, which I don't think they are. So which tells me they're in the position.
Well, and if you're going to sell your defensive end like that, who else is going out the door too?
They're in position, but I'm still leaning that they still keep Dak and they'll draft like Pene Sewell or something.
Yeah, we'll see. Hashtag like we'll see.
Marcus. They'll take the tackle instead. And everybody be like, why'd you take Lawrence? Why'd you take Dak? And, you know, all that other crap. So that's what I think is going to happen. All right. So let's get into Mr. Tom Brady, who had a career day.
That's his second. Wasn't it his second game this year with five touchdowns?
Yeah, five total touchdowns.
Same as last time, five total touchdowns.
Well, he threw five last time.
He did? I thought he threw four and ran one the last time, too.
No, he threw five and then ran one. So he had five.
Six total touchdowns.
No, my bad. He threw five that game. He didn't run for one that game. But in this game, he threw four and
– And got that goal line sneak. The man loves to put his nose in the line of scrimmage for that 1 yard. He loves it.
So one thing I will say, Chris, I mean, because he did ball, like he looked great. I watched him on tape before the week, and I was already ready to take back my he's not elite thing after watching him on tape all week. So,
like, I need you to do that one more time, Marcus. Can you do that one more time for me?
Like, I'm gonna need you to do that. I gotta take that back because the way he's playing right now. But the interesting part is this: I just didn't believe in Bruce Arians' offense, right? So this is where it gets interesting here. Tom Brady did. Peyton Manning did a detail.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
That, right? He did a detail, and he brought up, like, how they changed the playbook. Do you see that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, how they changed the playbook.
Like somebody lost a bet and had to make the play calls against the Saints. And I think it was Byron Leftwich's house that he broke into, and that's who had to call the plays. Yeah, I saw it. That was absolutely hysterical.
Yeah. And I think there's a point to that, to why he's playing so well now, because against the Raiders, they're running spot concepts, and I don't know if you're familiar with that. That's like the little, like a flat.
Lay it out for the audience. Basically,
it's a flat, a corner route, and a stick route. So basically a little tiny comeback hitch route. And, you know, that's Patriots stuff that they're running. And they ran that like three times against the Raiders. So I was like, man, Bruce Arians, you ain't calling those spot concept. Tom came in the room and was like, bro, first of all, these verticals, they ain't working. I need some options, bro. You're not giving me any options. You know what I'm saying? You're not giving me any thoughts and options here. You're not helping me out. Because that's what I was thinking when I was watching him. It was like, even when I was doing the getting ready for the show, like, he was playing really well, like himself. Like, yeah, he was in control. He knew what to do in the offense, but he just didn't have a lot of options. And the offense is easy to game plan against when he doesn't have a lot of options. So once they start adding some options, man, the NFL is in trouble. That's all I'm going to say with this offense. Because Arians he's a good coach. Like he's not – his offense annoys the hell out of me. But he's a good coach, like a motivator, like a leader.
Oh, yeah, Bruce, absolutely.
Great QB coach, too.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't – like he's not going to yell at – he's never going to yell at Tom Brady. He said that on Dan Patrick's show.
Yeah, he was saying he yells at – he yells at – what's his name?
Blaine Gabbert.
Instead.
He's not going to yell at Tom. He yells at Gabbert. So, yeah. Like, and he understands that because he knows how mental playing quarterback is. Like, that's like his big thing. Like, if your quarterback is not mentally ready to get play the game, it's going to be – he's going to play terrible. And I always told that story from his book where Peyton was playing the Patriots, and he could tell Peyton it was tense because they've been losing to the Patriots all week, and he came in and kind of calmed him down, and they went out and beat the Patriots. They went out and beat the Patriots for the first time. And it's – you know, it's he understands things like that, so he's great. He's great in working with quarterbacks that way. It's just his offense is just like outdated, and they're not running the same offense anymore though. Like, Tom is definitely
no. There were definitely some new old looks involved in what happened this last week. Absolutely,
yeah. You know, and it happened this week too. A lot of the stuff they ran were a bunch of Patriots stuff. I mean, I tell you,
you know what?
Go ahead.
You know what's just so impressive? We might have to link the Peyton Manning clip in when we release the show. Yeah. He went. There's five reads in that play that Peyton broke down. Five.
Yeah.
And you go from right to left, and the touchdown he threw was to his fifth read.
Yeah.
And how quickly he goes through the progression to get to five is just like that. You can there is that comfortable feeling that you have in running something that you've been doing for forever, you know, regardless of what look you're getting, where you got to go. And I mean, and he still starts at one. He still starts with that primary read all the way to his right and comes all the way to the left. It's pretty incredible.
See, on that incredible play, it was crazy because I really feel like on that play, he was going to go to one, but then he saw the coverage. And he's like, okay, five is going to be wide open. So I'm just going to go straight to five.
Yeah, and I think the snap was low. Yeah. And, like, he had to pull his eyes down to go straight to find the ball, and he still got to five. Like he knew where what was going. It's really impressive.
Yeah, it's hard
for him to still be able to do that in his almost mid 40s.
It's wild, bro. It's something else. He's got to be on something. I don't believe him. I don't.
No.
You got to be on something. Like you can't still be playing quarterback like this. Like a throw to he threw to Scotty Miller, bro. Like that was just like that was 50 yards on the line, right? Not on the line, but like floated 50 yards right in the back of the end zone. Just like
you know what's gonna be crazy? It's not gonna be Scotty Miller anymore.
I know it's gonna be AB.
No, that's Godwin. Godwin's his last read now.
Well, Arian's offense still has Godwin as the slot because he's Larry Fitzgerald.
So you're gonna have? You think AB's gonna be on the outside? Or you?
He's outside.
He's gonna be opposite.
He's John Brown. He's John Brown. So you got to think about how Aaron's offense works.
Oh my God.
He's the deep guy. So he'll play in the slot, but he's going deep a lot. He's gonna be the deep guy. Mike, this allows Mike Evans to be the deep guy to be his Michael Floyd. So let's just think about the Cardinals. So you got Mike Evans is Michael Floyd.
You don't think Mike Evans is Fitz?
No, Fitz is Godwin.
Oh.
So everything Godwin does is in the slot. So because that's why Fitz was mad at Arians, because Arians was like, you're gonna be my slot guy. Because one, because Fitz blocks really well. And that's in Arians' yes, offense, does. The receiver has to block. Godwin is probably if not the best blocking wide receiver in the NFL. So that's his job. And that's he opened up holes. He blocks like a tight end. So that's his job, and he plays in the slot. So that's what Godwin does, because Arians likes big slots that can block, right? So that's his guy. Mm-hmm. And then he likes a small little Z that's like 5'11" and gets deep, and that's AB.
Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm.
So
that's like I'm sitting here looking at that. You got Evans and Antonio Brown on the outside, Godwin in the slot, and you got Gronk at the tight end spot. And if you want to bring in another tight end, it's Brate.
Got great line.
And Jones in the backfield. Oh my God!
They got a great line too, a great line. Like they really don't have any holes in their offensive line. What?
You know what I'm happy about right now, Marcus?
What?
But they've got two losses, and the Packers only got one right now.
Yeah. Well, you guys can't lose because I honestly, Chris, I don't know how this team's gonna lose another game. So
especially with the there's only one bye week this year in the playoffs,
bro.
And could you imagine if Tom gets a week off in the playoffs?
It's just the defense too, like how good that defense is, bro. There's really no holes in the defense.
Those linebackers are incredible.
The linebackers, the corners are really good. Carlton Davis is amazing. He runs Winfield. A 4.5. Yeah, Winfield's great.
Oh, what, as a rookie too, like that?
No, Carlton Davis runs a 4.5, and he was running with Ruggs like he runs a 4.3. Like, it was crazy. He was all over Ruggs. And he was following Ruggs. So Carlton Davis follows your best receiver. He put the clamps on Allen Robinson. He put the clamps on Michael Thomas. I mean, he gave Devontae Adams all he could handle.
Yep.
Like, Carlton Davis is no joke. No. The linebackers are no joke.
Linebackers are just incredible.
Barron and Jason Pierre-Paul are no slouches.
Sue's not a scrub either.
Bro, they don't have a huge hole on defense.
And they lost Vita Vea.
Yeah. And they're still playing great run defense.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
They're playing even. I don't know. Number 58. I don't know his name right now. I think I don't know if it's 98 or 58. But that dude is
I thought Barrett was 58.
No, 98 is the guy they got from the Jets, Steve McClendon. He's playing just as good as Vita Vea is.
Yeah.
Maybe even better, bro. He was destroying the Raiders. Monster. I'll tell you, bro, they are scary.
You know what the biggest thing for Tampa is, I think, on the defensive side that really took him to the next level?
Yeah.
Todd Bowles.
Yeah, bro, for sure. Todd Bowles.
Because him and Bruce were special in Arizona.
Todd Bowles is so good, bro. Like it's crazy, man. It's just watching that team is just. I was like, man, the Raiders were hanging with him. Like, oh man, the Raiders might be all right. And then it took one mistake, one interception.
You want to tell me about it?
You know, next
a
thing,
snowball effect.
It's funny. It happened to the Raiders. That's exactly what happened. Raiders, they were 24-20. I mean, I'm still mad. John Gruden kicked a field goal on a 4th-and-1 against a team. You don't have a good defense, John. Warren Sapp's not walking through that door, bro. You can't kick a field goal and expect a stop. Like, have you been watching the game? Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't understand his philosophy.
He doesn't seem to adjust well in game anymore.
He doesn't. He's doing better this year. But his coordinator, the other coordinator that he won't fire, that's his homie, he does not adjust at all. So, like, and he trusts, like, bro, he hasn't, they haven't made a stop in like 4 years. Like, what are you?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you got to basically look at a Raiders game and say, okay. What's the over-under? Give me the over.
Okay, yeah, because they have to, bro. Like, and then they can't run the ball, and it's all on Carr. But, I mean, this is not a Raiders podcast. But it's just, you know, like, it's a lot to expect the defense just to make a stop, you know, because the only reason the Raiders were even back in that game because they got one stop, which gave the Raiders the ball back and allowed them to go down and you make it 24-20. So you expect them to make another stop. It's just crazy. Like, don't expect it. Like, take advantage of that stop. It's 4th-and-1. Just go for it, bro. Like, and if you're scared you can't run the ball, pass. Like, I don't know. You figure it out. I don't know, Doc. But it's just, you can't play with teams like that. You can't play with Tom Brady. Like, you really, like, come on, man. Cause, you know, because the way that game is going, I feel like, I mean, the Raiders probably 1-1, even if they score a touchdown on that. I mean, because they weren't.
Because then you're giving Tom the ball back.
Yeah, because they would have to, like, go for two or something. They would have to score, go for two, like, to win the game. Because if you get Tom the ball, like, there's no way that the Raiders defense is going to stop Tom with that line. No. Because that's the biggest factor.
So you're going to do it now, or you going to?
He's looking elite again.
You're gonna let me when I was sitting there saying, what was that, two episodes ago, when I tried to list off four elite quarterbacks? You titled the podcast Three Elite Quarterbacks.
I'm just saying I couldn't put Tom in there, bro. I just couldn't do it yet. Okay. I couldn't put Tom in there.
You have to,
I think. Because I see the ascension. I see where it's going. Like, he's gonna steal the MVP from Russell. Russell's keep messing around. He's going to lose an MVP.
Well,
Tom going to take it from you, bro.
There. You know what? That's a perfect segue.
Okay.
To the Russ versus Kyler Murray show that was Sunday Night Football.
Okay, yeah. And which showed that the Seahawks are they're so dependent on Russell. If Russell has if he has one bad game, they lose. Like, if he has a bad game, they lose. Right.
You know what was pretty, and I think it speaks more about just how bad the Cardinals are, in my opinion. I think they're the Cardinals and the Bears are not what their records say they are.
So see, I think
I don't know how you get three interceptions against Russell Wilson, and you still like. Miss the field goal in overtime and somehow get it back to finally make it for the win. Like, there's just something about what the Cardinals do against Seattle. They've beaten Seattle at least once.
They beat them last year too.
The last four seasons.
They beat them last year.
And typically they beat them in Seattle, not in Arizona.
I think the Cardinals are good. Cause you know, I think Cliff is a great. I think Cliff is. I'm not gonna say a great coach yet, but he's a good coach. And I think he's just a good coach altogether. I think he's just a, like, you know, I was talking about Arians. He's a good leader, and I think he adjusts really well. I think he came into the NFL thinking he could do his little 10 personnel, and he lost like five games in a row. He's like, hey, you know what? He could have just kept going, right? But he's like, you know what? Maybe I should start using some tight ends. And guess what happened? They started winning some games. He switched to that shows me that, you know, he actually is willing to adapt. Because, like, no, bro, that you can't come out here and spread about four receivers, do no huddle, and think it's gonna work, bro. It's not gonna work, Doc. It's not. I'm sorry. So he's
especially when you got a young quarterback like Kyler too, who just doesn't have he doesn't grasp a lot of NFL concepts. Like, yeah. The kid's lost out there. It was pretty cool to see the clip of him smiling as he's throwing a deep ball to DeAndre Hopkins. That was pretty cool to see. I like that.
He yells at his teammates too, man. He's a psycho. He yelled at his teammates like crazy. Did you see him yelling at I get it. The guy missed a block on that screen. It was a big block that he missed, but it was just funny how he yelled at him. He's just like, he's like, make the block. Let's go. He's like, and the guy got up and was like, "What are you? Like, who are you?"
Are half the time. Like, like, how do I know where I need to make my block when you're never where you're supposed to be in the first place?
Like, bro, I've been in the NFL 10 years, bro. Like, who yelled at me for?
Yeah.
Because yeah. DeAndre Hopkins is like, when he yelled at me the first time, I looked at him like he was crazy, but I was like, you know.
Yeah, I read that article. he's wild. I mean, that's a bad defense in Seattle. That's a really bad defense.
Oh, for sure, for sure. See, and you know, I always say about Kyler, if you don't hit Kyler, he's going to kill you, though. So it's more about Kyler.
Oh, true. Kyler, the way that he runs around. I mean, yeah. He proved it. He proved it the way he's special, the way that he moves outside of the pocket. He really is.
Yeah, and he's good inside the pocket. That's not a quarterback. When he has a pocket, right? If you give him a clean pocket. And you have a good clean pocket for him, he's gonna play well. That's just it is what it is. He's not a bad quarterback. But the point that if you give him a clean pocket, then he can't make reads in the pocket and stuff like that. He's still good there. It's when Kyler starts to get hit, is like when you hit him a lot. Mm-hmm. It's when he doesn't like to sit there and hold the ball. He either just checks it down or he starts running. So you got to get him to that point. I mean, that's how you got to play. And the Seahawks never did that. They didn't get any rush on him. He was making sandwiches.
Wasn't the only sack of the game in overtime to get the Cardinals the ball back?
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So if he has all that time in the pocket, bro, he will pick you apart. I mean, he's got talent. He's accurate. He's accurate when he has clean pocket.
He threw a gorgeous ball to DeAndre for that touchdown. It was a perfect ball on the sideline.
He had clean pockets all day.
You got a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah.
That's what it's all about. That's all he's about. If you can't get any pass rush on him and you let him sit there, he'll pick you apart. But like I said, if you hit him and you hit him, like you just hit him like twice, give him like two good smacks. Bro, it'll be the Panthers game. So like that's what he is right now to me, and he hasn't shown me any different. If you give him a clean pocket, that's why I noticed that game. Like, yeah, he looks really good, but I was like, man, he has so much time back there, and he hasn't been hit yet. Like, but when you have Gross Matos and Brian Burns come up at the edge, they're hitting him. He becomes check down Charlie, and it's 24 completions for 133 yards. You know what I'm saying? So. He is what he is to be at this point. And, I mean, he might get better. I mean, I don't see like how that's going to change. And
I think he's gonna do to us what Baker did to us too.
You think
I
so?
I think
what's different is that Kliff is there. And Kliff's a good coach, and that's what is going to help him. Cause like I said, I was telling you this summer, bro, Kliff was just giving him open looks and he probably still is. I haven't even watched him, but when I did watch the Panthers game, he was missing guys still. So I can imagine that he's still missing.
Oh yeah. I can guarantee you he's still missing a lot of those reads. Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
And I bet you that frustrates the hell out of Kliff.
It probably does, you know, but
I bet you like those meetings during the week, he must be just losing his damn mind. Losing his damn mind.
Come on, bro. I'm dialing it up for you, bro. I'm dialing it up, you know?
Uh-huh.
You know, because even the play to Hopkins, you know, that's not something you see in the NFL. Like, it's still an NFL concept with the college mindset. And there's nothing wrong with that. As long as you – because if he came in with the college playbook and the college mindset, no, bro, you got to have an NFL playbook, and you could mix in the college mindset with it to be fresh, right? Kyler, if you give him the time, he's gonna pick you apart. That's why I was like, when they drafted Isaiah Simmons, I was like, why would you do that when you know you have Kyler Murray and you know he needs a good offensive line? I know you watched the tape also.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you got a tackle, like, or
and they barely get him on the field.
Yeah, I know. And then he doesn't even play. He got a pick though last week.
You know, he had a big pick.
I know.
Big.
So I don't know. So I don't know what's going on with that. It's crazy. But back to Russ. I mean, I thought Russ still played pretty decent. He just made some boneheaded decisions, like the Patrick Pearson pick. That was boneheaded.
Yeah, he. I don't know if you caught this. I don't know, but they were going at Drake Kirkpatrick.
Yeah, a lot.
Hard. And he ended up getting matched up with Lockett. And yeah. Lockett just had the monster of all monster games.
Yeah.
Of course, I was playing against him in fantasy football. So,
of course, yeah.
You know, I might be a little sensitive to that.
15 for 200. I think he's the fourth guy to do that in NFL history. 15 catches, 200.
Three touchdowns. It was just – I was up 35 points going into that game. I lost by 20.
I can imagine. Bro, I don't want to talk about fantasy. Fantasy's been bothering me all year because I lost by 0.03 points in the garbage time touchdown to Amari Cooper against the damn Cardinals. I was the most frustrating game to watch because I was like, dude, please don't throw a touchdown to Amari in garbage time. Why is he still on the field? Can we get a young guy? Where's Noah Brown? Where's Noah Brown at? Can we get a young guy some time here? And he got the starters. And I was playing – it was Zeke and Amari. And I'm like, Zeke and Amari are on the one. Like, you couldn't throw it. Where's Noah Brown? What about Cedric Wilson, bro? You got some young guys. Get some young guys a little running here, Mike. God, that pissed me off. But yeah, I thought Russ, he had his spurts, but I feel like that he had just one of his games where he just pulls a stinker. And I think that's – he still has that in him. He still has the stinkers in him. He still puts some stinkers out there. And, like – I know he threw three touchdowns and he had those, you know, those great moon balls.
He had three picks though.
But he had a huge pick. He had huge. He kept them in the game. He did. That game should have been a blowout. You know what I mean? It should have been a whole lot.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Buda Baker getting run down. That was pretty incredible by DK. But that goes back to when we were talking about him. When we were talking about him during the draft, the guy's just straight line speed.
Yeah,
straight line speed.
Yeah,
he can't run a slant, a post, a China route. He can't do any of that stuff. But you want to run deep? You want to run hitches? Ooh, deadly, deadly.
Yeah. I think Patrick Peterson put the clamps on him though. Pretty much, because I think
Patrick Peterson. Yeah, I mean he was pretty ineffective, other than running him down, and he had the touchdown that got called back, that wide receiver screen.
Yeah,
because of holding.
Yeah, but I mean that's a wide receiver screen. I mean that's nothing. That's not a route or anything like that.
It's bread and butter, man. That's his bread and butter. Yeah. DK on the nines and the hitches, baby.
Don't forget a seven, bro. He could run a mean seven. You know,
He's good to the corner. I don't remember seeing that.
You get ready against seven. Just outspeed you, though, or over route. You can just outrun you on the over route. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. It's interesting to see what happens with the rest of the year.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if he'll be able to keep up the.
But because that's his problem. He's thrown 22 touchdowns already. So if he stays on that pace, I mean, he should win MVP, but Brady's just on his butt. That's all I'm saying. Brady's like just coming. And Brady's about to have the best team in the NFC probably, which I'm sorry to let you know that, Chris. But I mean, you kind of already saw
it. Man, you can't even say Aaron's name in that conversation.
Right. Come for on MVP?
Now. Come on now.
Aaron's
had one bad game.
Aaron's in the conversation. He's for sure in the conversation for MVP. He could, but it's all going to come down to who has the best team. I mean, to be honest, I mean, that's what MVP is.
Right. You're right. Yeah, I would agree.
And if Tom Brady has the best team and is the number one seed and he throws 40 touchdowns, Tom Brady's winning the MVP.
He's definitely throwing 40 touchdowns. Tom Brady is
winning the MVP if he hits 40 touchdowns. It's like a rule. It's like him and Peyton. You know, Peyton hits 36 touchdowns, bro. It's MVP. You can't do anything about it.
So what a parallel to Peyton Manning's career. What he did in Denver, and now what Tom's doing in Tampa. What if Tom gets close to that touchdown record, single season touchdown record? What if he gets close to that? Like, how crazy is that? Just the parallels of those two careers.
Because I think Russell Wilson's on pace to pass. Because Peyton Manning had 22 touchdowns at this point, and then so is Russ. But Tom's are out. I don't know. I don't know if you can catch that 55 touchdowns. That's a lot. It's a lot of touchdowns, bro.
It is a lot.
Because you also got to factor in that. I think Peyton Manning threw the ball like 670 times too that year. Like, they just, all they did was throw.
He threw a lot. Yeah, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Oh, that'd be tough for that to catch. I don't know if that's going to be a possibility.
We'll see, man. He's got so many weapons. It's just incredible. Like, it's literally like somebody got a glitch in Madden and made all the trades to put this team together. Like, it's pretty incredible.
I mean, I mean, Jason Licht is obviously a good GM. He had a fascination. He had this long weird fascination with Jameis Winston. Like, he just loved Jameis. He just thought Jameis was. Remember, we had the burner account. Like, he just had this.
Yeah.
He's like, Jameis is gonna do it. Bruce Arians is like, no, he's not. He's like, he's not, though. He's not. He's not going to be able to do it. So you should go get Tom, you know. But, you know, Raiders fans are mad. Like, well, we could add Tom here. I'm like, well, Tom didn't even want to come here. Tom looked at our – probably looked at – who's the coordinator? Who's playing defense over there? Oh, yeah, no. Thanks. You think I'm going to carry you guys? I'm 43, bro.
I'm too old for that.
You want me to carry you guys? That for Derek. I'll be all right. I'll be out over here with this team that plays good defense. Give me some stops. Gives me the ball back a little bit. We can do some ball control. I can chill out here. I got a good line. You know, nothing crazy. You know, good coach. You know, he's you know, won pretty recently. Like, that was an easy decision for him to me. Like, now that I think about it, that was like,
yeah,
that was an easy decision. It was.
You're not wrong.
All right, Chris. Let's get to your favorite subject here. I know you've been waiting all week for this. You've been waiting all week. You've waiting all week for your. Let's talk about Cam Newton. So, you know, Patriots fans are upset.
Cam Newton.
Patriots fans are upset,
and rightfully so.
They are mad watching Tom with his 18 touchdowns and 5 interceptions, which he wouldn't have in New England. Let's be real. I mean, he'd be playing better than Cam. I mean, 100%.
He would absolutely be playing better than Cam.
100%. Let's say that, but let's not act like this offense is a world beater. All right. But Cam is still playing bad. He's playing terrible. There's really no excuses for it.
We're talking his numbers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me go back and just hit you from the beginning of the season. First game of the year, quarterback rating 100.7 against the lowly Dolphins. 155 passing yards. Not a whole lot, but, you know, he didn't throw an interception. Mm-hmm. He didn't throw a touchdown either.
Yeah.
But that was his best rating on the season. Game two, that was shootout with Seattle. The most yards he's put up in forever, almost 400 yards passing.
Yeah.
His completion percentage was rocky, 68%. But
that's funny.
Only
to say
one touchdown pass and one interception.
Okay, yeah.
Well, for him. Well, yeah, okay. I mean, all right. I see. I got you. I see what you're saying. But 94.6. That's a good rating. That's a good quarterback rating. So Everybody's very high on Cam Newton after 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, the wave. They're like, oh my god, what are the Bears doing? But here we go. Keep going.
Raiders week 3. 73.8. His quarterback rating.
And that was the red.
Too good.
That should have been the red flag. I should have known it. Everybody should have saw it, but nobody really realized.
Lost.
Go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
Even more.
Okay.
Went down to 60%. 162 yards. So, like, back to what he did week one. One touchdown, one interception. So now – through 3 games, he's got 2 touchdown passes, 2 interceptions. He's got 1 game where he's thrown for more yards than 2 of them combined. Mm-hmm. And then he gets COVID. And I didn't think not practicing was going to affect him that much. And then he just lays a complete egg against Denver.
157 yards. Quarterback rating 51.6.
Yeah.
Against Denver. Really?
I mean, Denver's defense isn't that bad.
But I thought the game against San Francisco at home, I thought that was a game that they could realistically win.
Yeah.
39.7 quarterback rating. 3 interceptions, no touchdowns, less than 100 yards passing, 9 completions. Marcus, it went down every single game that he played. All of his numbers.
It's gotten worse and worse.
Worse and worse and worse. I'm sorry. But if Bill Belichick can't save you, you're a sham. I'm back. It's Sham. It's Sham Newton. Did you see his body language through the game as well?
See, I wouldn't even say.
Did you get a chance to see that?
I saw some of it. I mean, I was watching the Raiders game, so I really didn't see that much because that was a late game too. So I didn't see that much of it.
He got benched, Marcus. They put Stidham in.
Yeah, but I think that was a mercy benching, right? They're not playing Stidham this week. But I think a lot of it is just maybe just Cam is just done, bro. That could be it. It's just he. I don't know. I feel like he just might be done, bro. Like I just, you know, some quarterbacks, it's just over, and he got too many injuries. He has to be more reliant on his legs because, like, I saw a passing chart, which I don't know if you see that passing chart, that every single throw he's made has been to the left. Like every single one.
I didn't see that.
He hasn't thrown to the right. So
why wouldn't you? That's the successful side for a right-handed quarterback. Like so, all the easy throws are to your right.
So what's going on? There's something wrong there, right? Or what's the reason for that? Is that an injury thing?
I don't know if it's an injury thing because his motion is just he's throwing everything he can behind his arm. He still has. It doesn't look like he's using his legs at all. His hips are still bad. Like. It doesn't look like I've never liked his mechanics as far as throwing the football. He's the most pure athlete in the entire world. But I don't know what it is, man. I really don't know what it is.
A lot of it is, I mean, that he is a pure athlete, but I mean, his athleticism, he's hitting 30. So, and then if his shoulder's messed up.
It looks like it could be messed up because just the way that he really looks like he's just flailing when he throws.
Yeah, and I think as I'm saying, I think he's injured, bro. That's what I think it is. And you know, everybody freaked out on the Panthers, and most of the Panthers guys, they're still kind of mad they let go of Cam. And I wanted to see Cam and Joe Brady's offense because I think Joe Brady has the mind for it. But obviously, Matt Rhule looked at the tape and was like, no. Let's move on.
Yeah, we talked about that too, though. There was no financial decision to keep him either. It was they only lost $2 million by cutting him versus the 24 that it was to keep him.
Yeah, that had to be a part of it too. And then you know, Cam did the I'm gonna show you guys, and he's not really showing us right now. He was talking all that hype before the season started. You made all those videos, YouTubes.
He was saying all the right things. Like I was really impressed with what little offseason he had. But
yeah.
I was really impressed with how his season started. I was really rooting for him to play well. But I mean, his highest completion number was the game against Seattle when they threw 44. He threw 44 times. The closest he's come to that after
he probably threw out his shoulder against
your Raiders. They threw 28, but he went from 30 completions, his season high, to 9 completions against the Niners. Are you kidding
that,
me?
That shoulder's like 44 he times. That shoulder's done.
he went 17 completions against you guys and against Denver, and then 9 against. But and 15 to start the season, like he can't handle throwing 30 times.
Yeah,
he couldn't handle throwing 15 times against the Niners.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I think
15 throws.
The aerial attack that we all got excited about week two was
Okay.
It was him throwing out his shoulder.
I wouldn't say that that was. Maybe. Who knows?
That was probably the most he threw the ball in a long time. And he was not throwing
for
short.
Sure. He doesn't throw short. Like, that's where he's going to have success is checkdowns. Like, if he was actually doing what Tom Brady did in that offense, he might have some success. But he is just flinging the ball everywhere. And you know he doesn't have the accuracy that Brady has. So, like, he's just going to get himself in more and more trouble the deeper the ball goes downfield.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
So I'm a little disappointed that I got to go back and calling him Sham.
They're going to be drafted.
Do they tank? Do they tank at this point?
No, they're going to be 8-8, bro. You know they are. Like,
Do you know last time that they were two games under 500? 2001.
That's wild.
19 years, Marcus.
That's wild. I mean, but who's gone? Tom is gone, Bill. Uh-huh. Maybe you should just paid him. Obviously, maybe you should have got him some weapons.
Everybody better stop saying that Brady's a system quarterback.
Yeah, maybe you should have got him some weapons, Bill. Maybe just, you know.
I'm a little disappointed at N'Keal Harry.
Yeah, he just can't be pressed, man.
I don't understand that because he was like known for his physicality when he was playing at ASU.
Yeah, but he struggled with press coming out. I just thought, I when guys can't beat press, I mean that is a coachable thing, to me. Like beating press is coachable, so that's why I don't like if a guy can't beat press in college. It's not a crazy thing to me because one, press in the NFL is crazier, so he's gonna have to relearn how to beat every receiver has to relearn how to beat press anyways. And, you know, two, it's something you can learn and practice on. There's like, it's nuance to it. You know, it's technique.
Oh, absolutely.
Like AB's not, AB's not fast or anything. Like, you know, he's not like a speedster, but you can't beat him in press because he knows what to do to beat press coverage.
Yeah.
And what press coverage is that NFL teams run.
Separation.
Right. Yeah. And it's more about that. And that he's not adjusting to it. He can't beat press right now. He can't separate. He's just kind of stiff, and the old school red zone threat thing is gone these days because he still makes plays in the red zone. He still high points the football. He still makes pretty good plays in space. You just have to find ways. I think what they should do is put him in the slot so he gets free releases. I mean, that's the smart thing. That's the smart thing you would think a coach would do.
Yeah, but they don't have a quarterback that can get him the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's Edelman's position too, though.
Do you
put Edelman on the outside?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but I thought he was a big slot coming out. So, like, that's because if I would have drafted him just based on his tape, I would have put him in a slot like Juju Schuster. Because Juju Schuster moved outside in 2019 too, and he didn't do very well. And guess what happened? They got Chase Claypool now, and he can move back inside, and he can be effective, and he's back to being effective. And of course, he got Big Ben back too. But also, it has to deal with him not having to deal with press coverage, and having Chase Claypool in there to be the X guy to deal with that, and then having some of the other receivers like James Washington, all those guys, and Juju can move back inside.
Deontay.
And be comfortable, right? And that's what N'Keal. I feel like that's what N'Keal is. I feel like that's what Hakeem Butler was too. Like you can have big slots these days. It's not. Chris Godwin is not a slot receiver, but that's what Bruce Arians wants him to do. And that, he got 1,300 yards, and then he broke his hand or something or his finger or something, but. I mean,
it was a concussion. Didn't he just get a concussion this last week?
No, it's something. He did something to his fingers or something. But him and Tom are getting on the same page. And if Tom has a slot receiver,
yeah, like very quickly, very quickly.
I feel like this is the Tom Brady episode,
which was
the Brady Love Fest. I'm about to name that this is the show, the Brady Love Fest. Guess what this is? What it's true, man. Like if him and Chris Godwin get on the same page, bro. And he can lean on Godwin in the slot, bro. God, I was upset watching that game. I was like, man, why does this guy keep winning? Why couldn't you go to Jacksonville? I just want to let you. I want can you go 7-9, bro? I just want you to go 7-9. No, but 12-4 every year. 12-4. Like I'm tired of it. Tired of it.
Bro. And then the down years are 10-10.
10-6.
10-6.
11-5 down year. Oh, there it is. That 11-5. 11 wins. That's not a good. Are the Patriots the same? You know, that's those questions we should talk about. Because they won 11 games.
Yes. Yes.
We were idiots then, too, bro. We were just. Tom. So, yeah, man, it's just. But yeah, the Patriots have to be thinking like that was pretty dumb. And maybe Bill doesn't feel that way. Maybe Bill feels like, you know, it was time to move on, anyways. And, you know, let Tom.
Well, he wanted to move on from Brady a long time ago. Yeah. He's always been the guy that moves on early. And it's always worked out for him. But now it's like Tom flipped the script on Belichick. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did. He flipped the script. All right, Chris. So I think we're almost at an hour. What else we got here? We got Mahomes.
I do want to give Baker real quickly a little love. We were kind of beating up on him last week. He went 0-for-5 with an interception to start the game. Lost Beckham to a Achilles tear immediately, first drive of the game. And do you see what he did after that, Marcus, the rest of the game?
Yeah, one incompletion the rest of the game, right?
He went 22-for-23. Do you know what that incompletion was?
A drop.
No.
I imagine. What was that?
He spiked the ball to stop the clock.
Oh, wow.
5 touchdowns, 22-of-23, and the one incompletion was a spike to stop the clock.
I know people are saying that he doesn't need Odell, and Odell was the problem, and he's so much better without Odell. We'll see.
We will see, that's for sure. I am not a Baker believer, bro. I looked at the numbers for Baker too, because that was really impressive to me. And then I looked at the schedule, Marcus. So they're 5-2, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty good numbers.
Pretty good record, right? Yeah.
The two losses are to Pittsburgh and to Baltimore.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm looking at these 5 wins, and there's only one of them that I can legitimately say that's a good win. And that was against Indy.
The Colts, right? Yeah. Uh-huh.
That was because Indy's got they're tough.
How did he play in that game?
The other 4, 2 of them are the Bengals.
Yeah.
How do you play against the Colts?
Yeah. How do you play?
He completion percentage 56.8 for completion percentage. A season high 37 passes.
Okay.
Oh no, I'm sorry. He threw 39 against Baltimore. So right up there. He did put up his second highest yardage total, almost 250 yards, but 2 touchdowns, two interceptions.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got a quarterback rating of 72.7.
Exactly.
So he did not play very well when they beat the Colts. But
because go look how bad Phillip Rivers played that game. I think Phillip Rivers was like awful.
Yeah, I think he cost them that game, if I remember correctly.
Yes, he did. So he wasn't even good against the Cowboys.
But
the Cowboys game, he wasn't even good. And the Cowboys have the worst defense in the world.
Well, so he didn't throw an interception against the Cowboys. He didn't throw one. He threw 2 touchdown passes.
Okay.
But he only threw for 165 yards because they ran for like 400 that day.
That's true.
But
he had
100% quarterback rating.
Yeah.
Against the Cowboys. But that's the point. They played the Cowboys, they played the Bengals twice, and they played the Redskins. Those are probably the 5 easiest wins out there right now.
I'm gonna find out how good the Raiders are this week.
This team should be 4-3, to be honest. They should not have beat the Colts with 2 interceptions from Baker. But I think it's gonna be interesting this weekend.
They had 2 close games with the Bengals, you know. So like, I mean, maybe the Bengals are better than we think, but I don't think they are. I think they're terrible on defense.
The Bengals are definitely better than what their record is. I will say that for sure.
Yeah. So
I think Joe Burrow is going to be doing something special in Cincinnati. The team's completely bought into Burrow, and they've got some pieces there that I think there's the potential to build around there. So I'm interested to see what happens with the Bengals going forward, but they should have beat Philly, in my opinion, and they've had 2 really close games with the Browns.
Yeah, but I'm still not a believer in Baker. I said on my other podcast that if he tears up the Raiders, that I'm going to go off. So, yeah. I don't believe it. Like,
hey, the over's looking good. The over's looking good, and
I don't care. You better keep him in the pocket. He doesn't want to stay there, and then he gets happy feet.
Even in the clean ones, he doesn't want to stay there.
He gets happy feet.
That's why I got that's that Lincoln Riley because I don't know if Kyler really wants to stay there. I don't know if he really wants to stay there.
See, Kyler wants to stay there. He just doesn't want anybody to touch him in it. So he just wants it to be perfectly clean. He wants nobody around him. He doesn't want anybody close. That's the difference between him and Kyler. Like Baker, if he's back there for like 2 seconds, he's gonna start like if it hits 2.5, he starts
he's shaking. Nobody can see you dancing on this podcast.
You know what I'm saying? Like Kyler's still gonna be calm back there with like if there's nobody around him, but like Baker, like as soon as it hits 2 seconds mark, he starts. So that's what I'm saying. Like that is the most. It is so easy because that's what the Steelers did. The Steelers were like, oh, this is easy take. We just keep him in the pocket. Like, what is he gonna do? They kept him in the pocket. He couldn't do a damn thing. So it's like, because if you let him out, which I'm sure, because I didn't watch the game. I'm not gonna lie. I'm sure that he got out of the pocket a lot. I'm 100% sure. I'm sure he made plays outside of the pocket. I'm sure he got a lot of bootlegs. I'm sure he made that. I really doubt that it was pure pocket. Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. I've seen a couple mm-hmm. nice throws he did online through the pocket, but come on, like that's not consistent. I don't believe it. We'll see. I already said it. I'll be frustrated if that happens. If the Raiders come out there and don't get at least a couple interceptions off this dude, come on, bro. Like,
yeah.
This is the first bad quarterback we're facing. Like, I'm not gonna say he's bad, but he's the first like true mediocre quarterback that the Raiders have faced this year. They faced Teddy Bridgewater, who's playing pretty well. They faced Drew Brees, who's back to playing well after people killed him for a little bit. But he's back. He's been figured out.
And he didn't have Emmanuel Sanders. He didn't have Michael Thomas. He had nothing as far as wide receiver position goes.
He's got Jared Cook and Tre'Quan Smith, and you know, and he still has Kamara.
And he's got Kamara out of the backfield, but you know, I guarantee you, whatever the game plan was just don't let Kamara touch the football. I bet you that's what it was. Let Jared Cook do whatever he wants to do. Just don't let Kamara touch the ball.
Yeah. So the Raiders played them, and then they played. I mean, I won't count Cam anymore. But they stopped Cam. Cam didn't do anything. For some reason, they just didn't stop the run that game. Cam couldn't do anything in that game. So, and then they played Patrick Mahomes, and then they played Tom Brady. So this is the first. Yeah. This is a break. This is a break week. I feel like, because then we got Justin Herbert the next week, and he's decided that I don't know what they were doing at Oregon.
He is not the same guy that was on.
Who the hell is this guy? Who is that, Chris? Who is this guy?
That is not the guy that we charted. That is not the guy that spent time on. That's not the same guy. I don't know what that
it's
is.
Not, I don't know where he's like tough in the pocket. He's chucking the ball downfield. He moves well. He makes the correct read half the time. Like, who is this guy?
He had the athletic prowess to do what he's doing. We saw that, but it was more on the mental side. It was more on the decision-making. That's where we had a problem, and it's – I don't know who this guy is. I don't know who this guy is. This is not the guy that we were looking at in college.
Who is this guy?
I don't know.
It's crazy. Crazy. You know, then I got my brother bothering me. I told you. He's going to be good. Look at the arm. Like, whatever, bro. There's nothing on his tape. No, there's nothing on it. Like, I still gave him a first-round grade because his talent and all that stuff. It was a late first round. But come on, bro. Like, no. Nobody saw this. He didn't have an off season. Like he didn't have an off season, and he came in his first game and he threw 300 yards against the Chiefs, who are probably one of the best pass defenses in the league. And he came in through 300 yards the first game, and then against the Bucks, what he did against the Bucks?
They basically had that game won until the last like 2 minutes.
And he started making some rookie mistakes because they're a really good defense, and they started confusing him a little bit. But like, I don't know who that guy is, but that's what I'm saying. So this is a break week for the Raiders. So they need to take it seriously. They need to take advantage. We're facing a guy who's not top 20. This is our time. This is like, let's get after it. Let's make some plays. Like this is it. They don't have Odell Beckham anymore. We got, they still got Jarvis Landry. They still got some decent guys over there, but it's not the same team. You know, they ain't got Chubb. They're missing Beckham. Like this is
no
time.
Chubb. Like, they don't, Hooper's out too. I think he's already
beat the Saints. So have some confidence here, guys. This dude is not. Come on, just help me out here. That's all I got to say about this game, about Baker.
All right.
You know, what else?
How we doing? Yeah, we got. I think Pat. I think we're at an hour.
Yeah.
You want to call it? Or should we?
Yeah. We can talk. I mean, Mahomes is like not playing MVP level football or the out of the world football he's playing right now, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. I think he might be different in the playoffs. That's what I think is going to happen.
I got one comment for you.
Okay.
Because I knew when we discussed bringing up Patrick Mahomes, do you know how many games he has less than 200 yards passing this season?
This season?
Right? How many games he has less than 200 yards?
Is it two, right?
Zero. He has not thrown for less than 200 yards once. He actually hit 200 on the nose against Denver. Denver actually did the best with containing him. One touchdown pass and 200 yards passing.
They got Drew Lock on the other side, though. So it's like we were definitely right about him.
Yes, we were. He's not doing the tape throws anymore, is he? Not rolling to his left and making throws to his right that make no sense at all. Oh, that's not happening.
He's bad. He's playing really bad, like bad.
Yes, he is.
He's playing as bad as you could play at this point. So, yeah. So we hit one, Chris. We hit the Drew Lock, you know, but
Mr.
Herbert
go.
So
yeah.
far. I mean, because Herbert's giving Burrow like every single. Like, I don't know. To be honest, I don't know who you can really say is playing at better at this point. You know,
they're definitely both neck and neck for rookie of the year. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Absolutely.
Like, I never would have thought he would have come in and look like this. Like, he just looks like, what the hell were they doing in Oregon?
No kidding.
What were they doing?
No kidding.
That, like, they were holding that kid back or something. I don't know, like that.
And that game that he put it, like, the way that ASU took him down.
Yeah.
What was that? Three? He threw three interceptions that game?
That was horrible tape, bro. Like, it was like, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But it's probably, I guess it was probably the offense he was running, I think. Now that I look at it, like you look back at it, it was obviously the offense that he was running, which kind of changes
he is comfortable. He is comfortable in Anthony Lynn's offense.
Which makes, that's why quarterback scouting so tough, like, because how do you got to take the individual guy, like with Herbert, and you take him out of that offense, right? Like it's, but you can only watch him when he's playing the offense. So it's harder to
Here's my thing. This is where I think it's going to get crazy. Who's his crutch?
Right now, I mean Keenan Allen, right?
Keenan Allen. What if the defense just dedicates to suffocating Keenan Allen? What kind of a quarterback do we see?
I don't know, man. He's throwing bombs to Jalen Guyton. Like, who the hell is Jalen Guyton, you know?
Okay, I'm curious. What happens if you take Keenan Allen completely out of the picture? What happens? What do you see here? Because Keenan Allen has, I think, 10 targets a game.
Oh, for sure. And he should. He should.
Absolutely he should. I've never seen a quarterback, like, actually – I don't know if he's forcing it to Keenan Allen, or if it's just that's Keenan Allen is really that open and Herbert's really putting up these games that are just incredible for what we thought he was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. All right, Chris. That should do it. We want to thank all you guys for listening. Yeah. Make sure you subscribe. Hit the subscribe button on Apple. Hit the download button on Spotify. So say that once again, go to Apple Podcasts, hit the subscribe button, go to Spotify, hit the download button. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, ALPA_QB1 on Twitter, ALPA_QB1 on Instagram. Then you got Little Pocket Awareness on Facebook. Follow me, the Mark John NFL, and you follow Chris at King Manelos. All right, guys. So we appreciate everybody listening. Any final words, Chris?
No, man, I like how smooth you are running through the social media like that, man. You're just getting better and better and better at that.
Yeah, man.
I'll just sit back and enjoy.
That's what's up, man. All right, guys. So, like I said, we appreciate everybody listening. We'll see you later.